get started with the morning service. Hope you were all blessed with the Sunday school hour. I know I was. Hope everybody's had a good weekend, even better week. It's good to be back in church. I don't know about you, but no place I'd rather be here on a Sunday morning than here with you guys. Getting around the Word of God, hearing the Word preached, getting to sing praises to our Lord and Savior. I'm so thankful for it. If you would, I'm going to have you, if you're able, to please stand with me. We're going to turn to page 420, and we're going to sing My Anchor Holds. Singing, but sometimes I'm really reading these words. It's amazing to think about what this song is depicting, about holding on to that anchor. I can feel the anchor fast as I meet each sudden blast. Think about that being on a ship, and being in your times of trials and hanging on to that anchor and going through those things that are coming at you and trying to barrel you over, and the devil's trying to get you. you always have that anchor in Jesus Christ to keep you grounded. And in the chorus it says, by his grace I shall not fail. Isn't that the truth?
Come on now.
I'm so thankful for his grace. That's the only thing that gets me through. There are some days I turn around and look back the last few days and I'm talking to my wife and I'm like, man, I messed that up. Like, I could get my head back. I'm like, man, am I thankful for that God's willing to just allow you to come to him and say, God, I don't have no idea what I just did here, but I know I was messing it up. I am so sorry. And his grace is right there for you to get you through it and continue going on. Man, am I thankful for the anchor of Jesus Christ. Brother Jim DeLucia, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we hope that you take all these words and stride that we will hear from our pastor, and that you give him all the ways he would love to teach it to us, and that we receive it in the proper manner, and we remember it, and think about all these words that we will hear. We thank you that we have all these people here this new day, and that we might even have a few more off and on, that they would all take in the word themselves and understand, live by these things as we all should. And I thank you for just that you'd have your son come down here amongst us and abide in this world, that he might that he just know how all things are within mankind as he was with us, and then have the feelings as he had for us. He wanted us all to believe and remember all that he would say, live within those words. We thank you for this day, and that we can have this church and be all together in union with each other. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Amen. If you would, turn over with me to page 292. We're going to sing here, Nothing Between, page 292.
Jesus.
final song here. If you would, turn with me to page 185. 185. We're going to sing this a cappella, Jesus Paid It All, page 185. Jesus Paid It All, page 185. I hear the singer say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He
thankful that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Everything we owe to Jesus Christ this morning, everything. For we're bought with a price, and we're not our own. We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, our lives are his. You take your Bible this morning. We're going to look at Genesis chapter number 27. Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. And we're going to look at a few things this morning that deal with the thought of deception and how we always need to be on our guard and alert and awake and understand that the enemy of our soul would like nothing better than to deceive us and to trick us into something that we ought to be aware of. So take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter 27, and verse number 1, the Bible says this, and it came to pass when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapon, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison. Make me savour meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, just thank you for your goodness towards us, Lord. Thank you for the precious sunshine this morning. Lord, thank you, dear God, that we can get out of bed. Lord, thank you that we can see, that we can hear, that we can talk, Lord. Thank you for our legs, dear God, that allows us to walk. Lord, thank you for the food we have, clothing to wear, Lord, a building to meet in. Thank you for the heat. Lord, thank you, Lord, most importantly, for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that has now come, Lord, that abides within those that are saved. Thank you for these precious promises. Thank you for eternal life. Lord, I just ask now for your wisdom, guidance, and direction that you would be glorified and honored. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this morning here, Genesis chapter 27, I believe everybody in here was familiar with this story of Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and Rebekah, and how Isaac is deceived and giving the blessing to Jacob rather than to Esau. And the Bible says here in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And Isaac says to his son there in verse 2, he says, And he said, Behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. He goes on into verse number 4 and says, And make me savour meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. So we get a picture here this morning of Isaac. He's there in his tent probably, and the Bible says that he is old. The Bible says that he's old, and not only is he old, but the Bible says that his eyes are dim, which means he has some trouble seeing. Okay, the eyes are dim, and he's having trouble seeing, and he also is putting forth this thought that he's getting ready to die. He says, I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to pass off the scene. And before I pass off the scene, he thinks within himself, he says, wouldn't it be nice before I pass off the scene and go on to be with God? Wouldn't it be nice to have some more of that savior meat, that venison that I love, that Esau prepares for me? That would be a nice one of the last meals I have. That'd be nice to have before I die. The Bible says that he calls Esau to him, and Esau comes into him, and he makes this request to his son and puts forth this thought to his son that I'm getting ready to die. I want this meal, and after I eat this meal, I'm going to bless you because I don't know the days of my death. I don't know the day of my death. The only problem that Isaac has here is that he has at least 20 more years to live. He's coming up a little short on this thing because he thinks he's getting ready to die. When in reality, he has at least 20 more years ahead of him. Take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31 and look at verse number 17. Genesis chapter 31 and verse number 17. Genesis chapter 31 and verse 17. Look what the Bible says here. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. Now he's been with Laban. He's got Rachel and Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah, and he's got his family. And the Bible says he's getting ready to head back in verse 18. And he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Padan Aram. For to go to who? For to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. Well, we know that he's at least served 14 years for both Rachel and Leah. Well, here he's getting ready to head back home, and it shows here that Isaac is still alive. And Jacob's packing up his family and getting ready to head back to him. But take your Bible and look at verse 38, same chapter, Genesis 31, verse 38. Look what the Bible says here. Laban confronts Jacob on his way to head back to Isaac. Look what verse 38 says. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. So we find here in verse 38 that Jacob has been with Laban at least 20 years. He says, 20 years I've served you. Well, who's he getting ready to go back to see? Isaac, his dad. So it's at least 20 years. His daddy's still alive, Isaac. And if not more, flip over to Genesis chapter 35 and look at verse 27. Genesis chapter 35, verse 27. We know it's at least 20 years, if not more, because after Jacob leaves Laban, he spends a little time there in Shechem. That situation happens with Dinah. Then he pitches his tent some other. We're not going to go into all that. But we find eventually he gets back to Isaac, his daddy, in Genesis 35, verse 27. The Bible says, and Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre. So back over to Genesis 27, we get this story here, and we see a problem right from the beginning of this presumption of Isaac that he's getting ready to die. When in reality, Isaac has at least 20 more years to live on this earth. Brethren, always be careful of presumptuous statements or thoughts. Be careful not to presume something. The word presumptuous means this: full of presumption, presuming. Presumptuous also means overconfident or venturesome, audacious, rash, taking liberties unduly. Presumptuous is also can come across as arrogant. You see, we need to be careful in our daily lives that we're not presumptuous of something that is going on, thinking that we know what's going on, when in reality, we have no clue what's going on. We're presumptuous. Isaac here is presumptuous in thinking that his day of death is very near. And I believe because he's presumptuous, he's on and taking the first steps down the road of deception. You see, arrogancy, presumption will lead you down a road of deception. Presumption, the word presumption means this: supposition of the truth or real existence of something without direct or positive proof of the fact. Do not make statements. Do not pre-presumptuous and make statements over facts you do not have. If you don't have all the puzzle pieces, make sure you don't get presumptuous of what the picture might be. If you don't have all the puzzle pieces, make sure you're not presumptuous in what you think the picture might be. Presumptuous or presumption leads to deception. Presumption can also mean blind or headstrong in confidence. Well, I know exactly what's going on here, preacher, and I'm going to tell you, no, you don't know what's going on exactly here. Presumption. Presumption is very, very dangerous. You see, presumption and lack of spiritual insight will lead one down the road of deception and delusion. The word delusion means this: the act of deluding, deception, or a misleading of the mind. You see, this is a bad combination we see here with Isaac here, and as he's getting ready to give out this blessing. You see, he not only is... the Bible says he's old. Not only does the Bible say that his eyes are dim, but he's also being presumptuous. You see, his eyes being dim equal out to a lack of spiritual insight. And his presumption of his thought of impending death shows that Isaac, in a spiritual sense, lacks discernment, and he's wise in his own conceits. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 12. We're going to look this morning at some things that will help us from being deceived or going down the road of deception. Proverbs 26, verse number 12. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 12, it says, Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The word conceit means this: conception, that which or formed in the mind, ideas, thoughts, opinions, notions, imaginations. That is conceit. And the Bible says in Proverbs, it says, if you see a man who's wise in his own opinions, he's wise in his own imaginations, he's wise in what he thinks and what he's conceived in his mind, the Bible says there's more hope of a fool than of him. You see, when you begin to think that the preaching of the word is God, the word of God is old-fashioned, and you become spoiled with the view that the word of God is light bread and irrelevant for one's daily life, you're on a dangerous ground and most likely will be easily deceived. You see, brethren, listen here. I desire to stick to the old paths, the old ways. The old paths. Jeremiah talks about the old paths. To me, the old paths are safe. They're proven. Right? If you're going up a mountainside, especially if it's a steep mountainside, how foolish would it be not to walk the path that's already been laid out for you? And as you're walking up the mountaintop on a path that's got a steep drop-off, how close to the edge would you walk? Think about this, brethren. If this was the pathway right here, this is the mountainside, and that's the drop-off. Look, if it's me, and it's like a 1,000-foot drop-off, you would have to pull me, screaming and kicking to try to get me to go over, look at that edge. Somebody in here was talking to me about some one time, I think it was you, Miss Burt, I think it was you talking about going up in the entire Empire State Building. Wasn't it you just talking about it and looking out the, no. I don't need to go up high to know it's high. All right? We can talk about changing out these light bulbs. I did that one there and my hands were sweating. They were sweating? I don't mind being in a plane. I was in the Air Force. I don't mind being in a plane. I'm talking about climbing up things. I can't. We went up the Statue of Liberty one time when I was a teenager. Never again. I will never go up in that Statue of Liberty. We got up to the top. If any of you have ever been to the Statue of Liberty and climbed to the top, it spirals. I don't know how it is today, but when I did it as a teenager, as you got towards the top, there was a spiral staircase. And the guardrail was only like right here. I had a death grip on that guardrail going up that Statue of Liberty. And when we got up to that top, you could feel the thing going back. I said, oh, get me out of here. I don't care what the statue is. I'm out of here. That thing made me so nervous. I don't like heights. I'm not going to get to the edge. I'm not going to try to see how close I can get to the edge yet still be where God wants me to be. It's dangerous grounds. All it takes is a little, and over you go. And there's no recovery. Sometimes there's no recovery. Brethren, old paths, the Word of God, the Scriptures, hymns, the old ways to keep you safe from the deceptions of the enemy. Now back to Genesis chapter 27 here. Back to Genesis chapter 27. We're not going to go over verses 6 through 17. But if you know the story, Rebecca hears what's going on. She calls for Jacob. And she sets up this plan. Which, stop and think about this for a second. She sets up this plan to bring deception to her husband. What wickedness. What wickedness on Rebecca's part that she's willing to try to deceive her husband Isaac and bring her son in on it. But she sets up Jacob. Jacob says, I'm going to get cursed if my daddy finds out about it. And she says, well, in verse 13, she says, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them, referring to the two goats that she was going to make to prepare for Isaac to try to deceive him. Look at verse 18. Everything's set. The stage is set for the deception. The stage is set. Verse number 18. Jacob, now let's talk about Jacob. And he, Jacob, came unto his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. One of the first ways individuals are deceived is by the fast action of others. Be careful when something comes across your path quickly or seems too good to be true. Because so often it is not. Is there not a statement, is there not a saying out there that says, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. Guess what? You can have this. You see it sometimes on advertisement for vehicles. Sometimes when we look for a vehicle, you look on the internet and it says Toyota Tacoma, 2015 for $4,000. No, something wrong here. Something wrong. I know a Toyota Tacoma costs a lot more than $4,000. An old one costs more than $4,000. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. And Isaac, he's still got some discernment about him, but doesn't take the red flag. He doesn't listen to his own reasoning in his mind. And Isaac asked a question. He says, my son, how did you get it so quick? You see, Isaac was correct in his wondering how he was able to find this deer so quickly and to dress it and cook it and prepare it and bring it to him in such a quick manner. You see, the timing here does not line up with previous experiences. The timing does not line up with previous experiences, but Isaac goes in on it because his son Esau, or who he presumes to be Esau, says, thy God got it for me. Think about that statement for a second. It always bothers me when I read in my Bible when individuals say, thy God, rather than saying, my God. So that shows me that Esau didn't really consider Isaac God, his God. Or else he was just embarrassed in the moment, or it slipped up on him and he said, thy God. But why didn't Esau say, my God, that I serve is also your God, Dad, that you serve? He says, thy God got it for me, and that's how quickly I got it. Be careful, brethren, to not neglect previous experiences, knowledge, and wisdom. Be aware of fast talkers. Be aware of fast talkers. We're going through a study on Wednesday night there in 2 Peter, and you know how the false teachers deceive, making merchandise of them. I believe a lot of these false teachers, these false preachers, these men that hold the truth and unrighteousness, they're fast talkers. They're smooth. Smooth talkers. And they allure through the lust of the flesh. They know exactly how to draw you in to get you to buy what they want you to buy. We don't see it a lot here in the United States, but in a lot of foreign countries, you go down to where their markets are, and you got everybody almost even pulling on you to try to come into their little stand to buy what they're trying to sell. You don't see it a lot here in the United States. There's very few flea markets that around here in Pennsylvania, the flea market I went to, there was no vendors really trying to pull me in saying, hey. But you go to somewhere, I remember when I was over in the Middle East the first time and we went down to the little market area. Man, I almost had guys pulling me into their shops wanting me to buy their gold or whatever they had. Fast talkers. My deal's better than his deal. I can offer you this. Just, Just take a moment to start conversing with me, and I might have you. Don't give space to the devil. Don't start a conversation with him. Don't start a conversation with sin, because it can be hard to walk away. So often, be aware of false talkers, because so often when one has wisdom and knowledge of God, they will be slow of speech. See, the difference between the ways of the devil, is get you to make a decision quickly, like fast talkers, smooth talkers, trying to get you in quick through lust of flesh, through the allurement of the flesh, whereas the ways of God are opposite of that. What did the Lord tell Elijah when he was in that cave? It's not in the earthquake, it's not in the fire, but a still, small voice. How many times did, I believe it was Elisha, say to Naaman to go dip himself in the River Jordan? Seven times. How many times did it was Elijah, but when he was bringing that rain in, when he was praying for that rain, he sent his servant seven times? Get this now this morning. God will put you in positions to see whether you want truth or not and what you're going to do with the little bit of truth you do get before he reveals to you even more. Cast not your pearls before swine. How much time are we willing to spend in the Word of God to get the answer we're looking for? I had somebody this week tell me, I said, well, did you read your Bible? Yeah, I read my Bible. How much you read? They said, maybe a page or so. But I didn't get nothing from it, so I put it down. That was their words. Well, you're not going to get nothing for it because you're not looking hard enough. Brethren, these are serious matters. How many people say, well, I read my Bible, it doesn't help me. I tried the Bible. I tried Christianity. I tried praying. It doesn't work. You're not trying hard enough. I believe, as sure as I'm standing here, that all the answers I need are right here in this book. All the principles I need. You might say, well, preacher, the Bible doesn't tell us how to change the oil in our car. The principles I need to live a godly life are all found in this book. But you're going to have to search. You're going to have to seek. You're going to have to cry out for knowledge. You're going to have to lift up your voice. You're going to have to get in there and you're going to have to dig. And you're going to have to struggle. And you're going to have to fight. And it's going to cause sweat to come up on your forehead. And you're going to have to ask God to show you and teach you and make you what you are. It just doesn't happen overnight, brethren. It doesn't happen overnight. You see, beware of quick. That's part of problems you have with some of these books that are put out today. They just like seem to have like this, like the prayer of Jabez and 40 day, whatever that, what's his name? Purpose-driven life nonsense. Rick Warren nonsense. Junk, man. You know why? Because everybody wants a quick fix on how to get a spiritual life. These quick help books. Well, just read this little book here and you'll know how to pray now. Stop. Stop. Instant. Everybody wants everything instant nowadays. We're a culture, we become a culture that we want it just to happen right now. I want to be here and I want it right now. I want it now. Give it to me now. You're like that horse leech there in Proverbs chapter 30. Give, give, give. Isaac got deceived by a fast, smooth talker. Take your Bible, look at James chapter 1 and verse number 19. James chapter 1 and verse number 19. James chapter 1 and look at verse number 19. James chapter 1 and look at verse number 19. James 1:19. The Bible says here, James tells the 12 tribes that he sends this letter out to. He says here in James chapter 1 and verse number 19, he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear. How quick and how often are we willing to give our own opinions on things rather than being swift to hear and slow to speak, thus being slow to wrath. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Take your Bible, look over at Proverbs 29, verse number 11. Proverbs 29, verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 11. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Jacob comes into his daddy there and he gives all the right answers. He says all the right things, but he's a man of deception. Proverbs 29 and verse number 11. The Bible says here that a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man goes here back with James chapter 1 verse 19, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. You know, if you got a group of people and they're talking and one person's doing all the talking and yet you got another individual that's there and they ain't said a word. If you're a good leader, if you're a good individual that's leading a group of people and you ask and somebody's just talking and another person's talks over here, but you just got this one person that's off to the side and they ain't saying nothing. You might want to look at them after everybody's done talking and say, what do you think? What you think over there? Because you ain't said a word yet since we've been talking. What's going on in your mind? Give me your opinion on this thing. What do you think's going on here? Fast talkers, brethren. Fast talkers will lead to deception. A wise man will keep it in till afterwards. Look at Proverbs 12:23. Proverbs 12:23. How to keep from being deceived. Proverbs 12, look at verse 23. Proverbs 12:23. Look what the Bible says here. Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man does what with his knowledge? He conceals it. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. And the last verse here in Proverbs, look over at chapter 20, verse number 5. Proverbs 20, verse 5. You see, a wise man, a prudent man, is not going to be quick to speak. They're not going to be quick to give their opinion. They're going to be slow of speech. They're going to be quick to hear. And they're also going to conceal it to where if you want what they got, you have to draw it out of them. Look at Proverbs here, chapter 20 and verse number 5. Look what the Bible says. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So often if you have that old individual and they're wise in the years, they often sit off there to the side. And even when you might ask them a question, they might just give you a short little sentence. But a wise man and a wise young woman will realize they got wisdom because they've lived some years. They've been through some things. They know what's going on. Let me try to dig even deeper. Let me try to take that wrench there and drop down that cup into their life to hopefully get down there and get where that water's at, that counsel that I need to help me in my life so that maybe I don't make some of the same mistakes that they made. What was the problem with Rehoboam? After Solomon passed off the scene, Rehoboam comes on the scene. And what was the downfall of Rehoboam? He listened to the counsel of the young men rather than the aged. Caused him problems. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out because it just won't be that there. You'll have to draw it out. Now back to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, verse number 21 now. So Isaac asked this question. He said, how did you get it so quick? And Esau, or Jacob, answers, because thy God brought it to me. Look at Genesis chapter 21, verse 21 now. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou art my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac. And can you imagine Jacob in his situation right now? No doubt this boy is sweating. Because now his daddy's saying, come here a second. come over here to me because I want to touch you. I hear your voice. You found this thing quick, but come a little closer now because I want to feel you. He says in verse 21, "And Isaac, son of Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And look at this verse 23. "And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him." How often, when we're getting ready to do wrong, the still small voice in there, the Holy Spirit says, "You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't go down this road." That voice, and you hear that voice. Jacob heard that voice there, and he realized, he said, "This is not the voice of Esau. This is not the voice of Esau. This is the voice of Jacob." He said, "Come here. You sound like Jacob. Come here a little closer. Come here a little closer so that I can feel you. The voice does not sound right, so I'm going to go off of my feelings." Feelings are fine, and they're from the Lord, but they ought never to dictate your walk with God. "Well, I feel." It's not, "Well, I feel." It's, "What does the Bible say?" "Well, I feel it ought not to be this way." "Well, I feel it should." "What does the Bible say?" You see, Jacob hears the voice. He knows it's not the right voice. He says, "This is the voice of Jacob," yet he feels like Esau. You see, Isaac is relying upon what he feels rather than what he is hearing. Let me ask you this question this morning. What is the voice of Scriptures or the Holy Spirit telling you? Take your Bible, look at John chapter 10, verse number 4. John chapter 10 and verse number 4. John chapter 10 and look at verse number 4. John 10, 4. John chapter 10. And we'll read verse 4 and 5. All right, John 10, verse 4. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger." There's this story, a true story, about a shepherd one time. He came out to his pastures. I'm probably not going to get it completely right, but what had happened was somebody had taken his sheep, and he noticed it. They had taken his sheep, and they were walking away with him. And he said, all of a sudden, this shepherd just yelled out, whatever he yells, and all of a sudden, all his sheep turned around and came right back to him. They wouldn't follow the voice of the shepherd. They wouldn't stay with that stranger. As soon as they heard the voice of the shepherd, their shepherd, they turned around. Not all the sheep turned around, because some of those other sheep were other shepherds. But his sheep heard his voice and turned around and came back to their shepherd. The question I got this morning, brethren, is, do you hear the voice of your shepherd? Does the voice of your shepherd speak to you and talk to you, and do you hear his voice? Later on in John chapter 10, if you look down at verse number 26, Jesus speaks again and says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ will hear his voice, and they'll follow him because they know his voice. The book of Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7 says this, Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in a provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, the Holy Spirit saith. Brethren, when you get saved and the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you, the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you. Now, it's not an audible voice that you hear, but he'll bear witness to your spirit, to what is right, to what is wrong, to how you ought to walk, what you should say, what you shouldn't say, where you should go, where you shouldn't go. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, and he'll lead and guide and direct you as the scriptures lead. It'll be in line with the Bible. Brethren, if you think God's showing you something and it's against scripture, it's not coming from God. Isaac is deceived by a voice. He hears the voice, but he doesn't listen to what it's saying. Back to Genesis 27. We're going to finish up here. Genesis 27, verse 25. So it comes quickly. He hears a voice of that of Jacob, but he feels him because he feels like Esau. Verse 25, the last test here that Isaac tries to put out there. Taste test. Genesis 27, 25, and he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and when he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank, and his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. So he brings the Savior meat, his son, or Isaac eats it. He says, this is exactly how Esau makes it. You see, Isaac, what did Isaac ask for? He asked for venison. He ends up eating goat. He asked for venison, but he ends up eating goat and doesn't even realize you've just been tricked. Well, how do you trick people like this? You just spice it up a little bit. You know how a lot of Christians are deceived today? Because they're seeking after the spice of life. You see, how many individuals go off of what they taste rather than what the Bible says? You see, here in Isaac's case, it tastes like the truth, but in reality, it's a deception. Isaac doesn't even realize that the food he is eating is not what he requested. He requested venison. He ends up eating some goat because Rebekah knew how to make it taste like the real thing. You see, this is why it takes such spiritual discernment on the things that are presented to us in this life. We need, again, I've said it multiple times, to run everything through the filter of the Word of God. Everything needs to go through the filter of the Word of God. Here it tastes like venison, it smells like venison, it makes my mouth jump like venison, but in reality, it's a goat. Well, how do we discern our taste buds? How do we discern our taste to know if something's being spiced up and it's not the real thing? How do we know if something's the truth or a lie or trying to get over on us? How can we tell by our taste? By tasting the real thing. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 34, verse number 8. Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 8. Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 8. Psalm chapter 34, and look at verse number 8. Look what the Bible says here. You see, as Christians, we put things in our mouth where we are to eat things spiritually. We're to take things in to help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, how can we tell if something we put in our mouth isn't what we think it is, and it's something that's going to hurt us rather than bless us and help us in a spiritual realm? Well, Psalm 34, verse 8 says this, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Taste of the Lord. Well, how do you taste of the Lord? You learn more of him. Learn more of Jesus. Go through the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and learn of Jesus. Be familiar with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus so that when the fake comes in, you'll know it immediately. You know how they used, I don't know how they do it now, but how they used to train bank tellers? They would get them together, new tellers, they would get them together and they would hand them a stack of real $100 bills. And they'd say, spend all day working with it, working with it, working with it, working with it. The real thing, handle it, touch it, feel it, move it around, use it. And they said, and eventually they would slip a fake one in there. And they said, eventually, because they handled the real so much, they could pick out a fake real quick by just the way it felt. That's how they would train bank tellers. They handle no fake money from real money. Spend time with the real thing so when a counterfeit comes in, immediately you're going to realize this is a counterfeit. This ain't the real thing. This is something trying to sneak slyly into my life, acting like, talking like, speaking like, looking like, smelling like the real thing. But in reality, it's something that's going to bring me to destruction because it's deceptive. Bible says in Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said to them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." Psalm 119 verse 103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Hebrews 6 verse 4 says, "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again in repentance, seeing they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." But in those verses there in Hebrews, you see tasting of the good word of God. Job says this, "Neither have I gone back from thy commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job 23:12. What's the emphasis do you place on the scriptures? You taste, you eat, you partake of the sweetness of the scriptures. You'll give more discernment to your mouth and your tongue to taste what is sour and not right. Lastly, the Bible says in Genesis 27 through verses 26 through verses 27 that Isaac tried to smell his raiment. The Bible says, "And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and he kissed him. And Isaac, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said," see? He gets deceived the very end here by smell. And he said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed." Be careful of smell. Be careful of smells. You see, something may smell beautiful, yet behind it is the stench of death and deception. Proverbs 7, take your Bible, look there real quick. Be careful of something that smells good, brethren. Be careful of something that smells good. Proverbs chapter 7, look at verse 16. Proverbs 7:16 says this: I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, and with the fine linen of Egypt. And I have perfumed my bed with myrrhs, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey, and he hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. And with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield, and with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Here you find a young man here in Proverbs chapter 7, Solomon bringing up here, writing through the power of the Holy Spirit about a young man, and he looks out there. And to me, this is a picture of sin in some ways. It smells good. It smells real good. Verse 17, I perfume my bed with myrrhs and aloes and cinnamon. And is it not the way of sin? It smells good, it looks good, it tastes good going in. But in the end, mouth is filled with gravel. The deception of sin. May God help us this morning, brethren, to always be aware and awake and vigilant to the tactics of the enemy. That we don't allow sin to creep into our life. That we stay close to the Word of God, that we stay close to the old paths. How do you overcome deception? You stay in the Scriptures. How do you overcome deception? Well, if there's a time in your life where you don't know what's right or which direction to go, first and foremost, you should ask the Lord for guidance on the matter. And then second, if you trust someone in your life, you should go to them and ask them for light and guidance on the issue. You see here, brethren, before I close real quick, Isaac, when in doubt, should have immediately put everything on hold. Isaac should have put everything on hold. Should have said, time out. From the very beginning there, he should have stopped as soon as Jacob came in there so quickly. He should have put everything on hold, and what he should have done as a daddy and as a father, as a husband and as a father, he should have said, I want Esau back here, I want Rebekah in here, and I want Jacob in here. All three of you come into my tent. That's what he should have done. He should not have gone off his side. His eyesight was gone. He couldn't see. He shouldn't have gone off his feelings. He should have gone off previous experience. He should have said, Rebekah, get in here. He should have said, Jacob, get in here. He said, when they're in there, he should, we're going to wait for Esau to get back out in here. And if he had all three of them in there at one time as a father and as a husband, he can make the right decision on who he needs to bless. But he went off of what he felt. He went off of what he heard. He went off of what he tasted. He went off of what he smelled, and he was led into deception. How do we stay out of deception? Stay faithful to church. Stay faithful to prayer. Stay faithful to fellowship with the brethren. And avoid as much as possible the ways of the world and what it has to offer. Spend as much time as you can around the things of God and the least amount of time as you possibly can around the things of the world. These things will help us to not be deceived. But you know what? Sad thing is, brethren, I'm going to close with 2 Thessalonians. You take your Bible there. I'm going to close with this verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. The sad thing is, some people desire to be deceived and to stay in deception, and there's nothing we can do to help. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says this here. It says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." Why didn't they believe the truth? Why were they sent strong delusions by God? Why did God have them set up to believe a lie? Because they had pleasure in unrighteousness and desired not the truth of God's word. Lord, that's a dangerous spot to be in. It's a dangerous spot to be in, brethren. Brethren, may God help us to walk always in the light of his word that he shows us, and to never, never, never take it for granted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your long-suffering, Lord, for your patience. Lord, I just ask, Father, this morning, Lord, you'd bless your word. Help all of us, Lord, help all of us that are in this room, dear God, Lord, to be cognitive, Lord, to be aware of the devil's devices, the enemy's devices. And Lord, not just the devil and the enemy, but Lord, our own flesh also. Lord, I think sometimes our flesh gives us more trouble than the devil. Lord, help us to be men and women, godly men and women that are godly men and women of discernment. And Lord, help us to walk in the light of your word and to stay faithful to you till you call us home someday. And Lord, we'll love you and we'll praise you for it. And we just ask these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.